donate to the Tower Fund.
FM, WBAI, New York.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
That you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for January 28th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today, we're joined by documentary filmmaker Andy Arrow. We'll be talking about a company that pays New York City for recycling, about people who actually get arrested for recycling, and what really happens to recycling once you put it out. What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls for our guests.
We love your input. 2 weeks ago, a caller mentioned desalination. That's when they take the salt out of ocean water, so theoretically there is fresh water to drink. It's a huge technological process that needs a lot of energy to run. Desalination seems to be an excuse to keep taking and polluting drinking water. If we run out, we'll desalinate. As if the ocean water is perfectly clean, near or downstream from whatever is polluting the water. Ask yourself what happened to the drinking water you used to have. The same pollutants that make drinking water unpotable, that is, not drinkable, not clean enough to be used in your homes, eventually get to the nearest ocean and end up in desalinated water. Desalination is not a solution to pollution in any way, but substitutes unregulated water for municipal water that is inspected. And we need to mention what it does to any sea creature living near that shore area. Ocean shores are very productive ecosystems. There were plans to desalinate Hudson River water downstream from the Indian Point nuclear reactors, which radiated Hudson River water every day. How thoughtless. Radiation is not filtered out. Local residents fought it off, But how did desalination become thought of as a magic solution? Is it a love for technology that some people have? Is it a love for centralization that some people have?
Regarding last week's discussion of invasive species and the potential use of goats, our guest, Joe Adamante, sends in this report. I just had a conversation with Dr. Emil DeVito, New Jersey Conservation Foundation's Manager of Science and Stewardship, on how, when, and if goats can be used to control invasives. Dr. DeVito said that goats should not be used in large areas such as Morristown National Park's Jockey Hollow area to control invasive species, since they will eat everything, including native plants and young trees. Regarding barberry, multiflora rose, and others, he said that although goats will eat them, these invasives will only resprout. He added that the only way to extricate barberry and other invasives is to cut them down, then inject them or paint roots to prevent resprouting with small amounts of garlon or other agents specific to the plant. Also, he said this method does not require removal of cut and treated plants. They can be left on the ground to replenish the soil. When I asked under what circumstances goats might be used, he mentioned one could use goats to eat small plants and tree seedlings to open up a small area to full sun, thus creating, for example, streamside habitat for endangered species such as the bog turtle. This site, no more than an acre or less, could also be fenced to limit the area the goats could access. He was adamant that goats are not the answer under any circumstances to remove invasives in large forested areas. Science, supported by field experience, is the right and convincing way to address this and other forest and all ecological issues. Various articles feature goats used in limited areas, 2 acres in Riverside Park, where they remain for the summer, and beneath power lines. However, what these articles don't say is that these goat uses are temporary, since whatever these goats devour will grow back, unless, of course, they're kept on the job permanently.
Goat job security? Although we understand the limited use of herbicides against invasive species, we hope the care is taken to avoid poison spreading into other areas, groundwater, etc. For instance, as mentioned, injecting or painting individual roots.
Legendary WNEW-FM DJ Scott Newney used to frequently play May the Sunshine by Scottish band Nazareth when it first came out in 1978. Hardly anyone else played it then or now. It's the fourth song in our Solar Medley outro. Here is May the Sunshine.
Yeah.
That was May the Sunshine by Nazareth.
Two upcoming events to report. On Tuesday, January 31st at 7 p.m., there is a Renewal of Resistance event to replenish the environmental movement in the new year. After four victories against Senator Manchin's dirty deal and other wins and losses last year, folks are understandably tired. Renewal of Resistance will gather people on Zoom from all over the country to hear the voices, see the dances, and feel the words of amazing artists from Virginia, West Virginia, and North Carolina. We have links for information and registration on our site.
On Wednesday, February 1st at 3 p.m., AgriWatch hosts a Zoom report back on how the U.S. and African food sovereignty movements can continue to work in solidarity. Search for AgriWatch on Facebook for details.
Once again, police are attacking land protectors, just as they did at Standing Rock. Police last week raided protests in Atlanta's Wilani Forest, which is unceded Muscogee Creek land. The first casualty was 26-year-old Manuel Tortuguita Esteban Paez Chiron, a trained medic and forest defender who coordinated mutual aid and helped build housing in hurricane-impacted Florida. Police shot and killed him during the militarized raid on the ongoing protest camp.
The land in question was forcibly taken from the Muscogee Nation in the 1800s and eventually used at the plantation. Starting in the 1900s and as recently as the 1980s, the area was used as a prison farm. It is currently an important part of a large watershed and is the largest continuous green space inside Atlanta. But what's happening there is not just a local issue. This Atlanta open space is the proposed site of Cop City, a $90 million Atlanta police training facility with an explosive testing site and a shooting range where police and firefighters will be trained in urban warfare in a domestic analog of the School of the Americas.
Forest defenders point to the city's own words in their opposition. The city's charter states, quote, "Urban forest land and the city's tree canopy are disappearing. Green infrastructure, parks, and trail connectivity need to be evaluated as part of any review and approval of private sector development proposals and other city infrastructure investments."
Politicians who support Cop City have attempted to discredit forest defenders as outside agitators. This smear has a disgraceful history in the South, where authorities have used it against abolitionists, labor organizers, and the civil rights movement, among others. The goal of those who spread this narrative is to discourage solidarity and isolate communities from each other while offering a pretext to bring in state and federal forces, who are the actual outside agitators. Replacing a forest with a police training center will only create a more violently policed society in which taxpayer resources enrich police and weapons companies rather than addressing social needs. Yet mass incarceration and police militarization have failed to bring down crime or improve conditions for poor and working class communities.
The struggle in Atlanta is a contest for the future. As the catastrophic effects of climate change hammer our communities with hurricanes, heat waves, and forest fires, what's at stake is clearer than ever. It will determine whether those who come after us inherit an inhabitable earth or a police state nightmare. The forest defenders are trying to create a better world for all of us. We owe it to the people of Atlanta and to future generations everywhere to support them. Go to www.defendtheatlantaforest.org. That's defendtheatlantaforest.org.
Last week, in our tribute to blues artist and beloved Clearwater board member Thomasina Winslow, we briefly mentioned Hey Look Yonder by her father, Tom Winslow, also a blues artist. This is the oldest environmental song by an African-American artist. We thought we'd play it for you now.
Hey, look yonder. Hey, look yonder. What that I see coming this way? It's the clear water. It's the clear water. We thus sing, fluttering so gay. Cool and your homemade pies and cakes. Bring the whole family.
your plan? Say we gonna have some picking and singing. Some people will tell us what they think about cleaning our river, making it a healthy river. Go get grand. Hey, look beyonder. Hey, look beyonder. What that I see coming this way? It's the clear water. It's the clear water with us singing. Again. Say, are we gonna have some picking and singing? Some people will tell us what they think about cleaning our river and making it healthy. Hurry, bro, go get drank. Say, hey, look yonder. Sing, butter and soaking, rich and poor together, we gonna sail it, young and old, we're gonna have a lot of fun, it's the clear water, it's the clear water, we gonna sail it, until the job is done, hail up yonder. Yonder, what that I see coming this way? If the clear water, if the clear water, with us sing, uttering so gay. Some sang for it, others gave to it, until 180,000 was the song. Water, it's the clear water. People just look what we have done. Hey, look yonder. Hey, look yonder. What that I see coming this way? It's the clear water. It's the clear water. With us say.
That was Hey, Look a Yonder by Tom Winslow. That must have been a great sing-along in its day. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Before we get to our guests and take your phone calls, a very important thing that we and all producers need to do on each show is to appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air. For 63 years this month, this radio station has existed and continues only because of listeners like you. You know, Ecologic takes pride in empowering you, our listeners, to participate in helping with actions you can do on the important issues we expose and present. Participation also helps with funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy.
Today's discussion of recycling, both official and independent, shows the importance of citizen journalists. Too many mainstream media outlets simply pick up corporate press releases. We ask the hard questions and kick the tires. We've given you information on how to be heard at public hearings, and we can continue to do that if you do your part by contributing to WBAI. Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. This is the truth. We're about the truth. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. Call 212-209-2950.
We think you value the environmental news and views we bring you each week. You listen to environmental news because you care. Ecologic also cares about you and the air you breathe and the water you drink. Let's work together to keep this show and WBAI on the air. Now we need you to show us that you care. Yeah, it's serious. Yeah, you've heard it before. It's different. We are at a crossroads, and your participation makes a difference. Ecologic brings you actions you can take. Letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important, and the nitty-gritty of raising funds is also part of that equation. Please help us to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
You're interested in the welfare of the planet.
The welfare of the planet is important to you, and it's people and animals and plants. You need Ecologic to bring you up-to-date information. Please make it possible for us to do that by supporting WBAI. Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone, make that call, or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It's the air we breathe and the water we drink. Our world is so interconnected. What happens on one continent affects the other. Sand in the Sahara affects hurricanes in the Atlantic Ocean. More rain in the Sahara means less sand in the air and fewer hurricane clouds. Regular listeners may have heard meteorologists talking about that on last year's June 24th episode of Ecologic.
The Pacific Network was the first listener-supported radio way back in 1949, created by pacifists after World War II. WBAI became part of that network 10 and a half years later, and listeners like you have kept us going ever since.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. Were you there in the beginning? Probably not. Are you going to be there in the end? We hope not, but we are in a financially fragile state and really hope that you will step up to keep us going. We need you to help WBAI and the Pacifica Network Broadcasting. Call 212-209-2950.
Without a transmitter, you hear nothing. A transmitter to broadcast our signal is our most basic need. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Join us as a member for just $25, as a BAI buddy for $10 or more a month, or just make a donation today to let us know that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show.
We thank you for everything you've done for WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you. BAI has so many important shows, and donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. And towerfund.wbai.org is still the best way to support that project. Help WBAI take charge of our transmission tower rent. The tower has a wide reach, but if our rent's not paid, that won't help us.
Our transmitter is at 4 Times Square, which is partially solar-powered. And guess what? The solar panels were installed by someone who is a friend and a past guest of Ecologic. That guest, Anthony Pereira, was part of a panel on our premium solar in the city, which is part of a 3-DVD set available for you for a $90 donation.
Let's all be part of the solution. Please support WBAI's free speech community radio by becoming an Ecologic buddy, or by pledging for premiums, or by making a single donation today. With $25 or more, you become a voting member at WBAI.
We expose greenwashing wherever we can. There's so much that we cover that is unknown to the public or so controversial that commercial radio won't touch it. Where else do you hear about the scrappers that take trash off the streets? You'll hear about it today, and a discussion of how the law affects them. You hear about that right here on Ecologic and other BAI shows, nowhere else, and that's why we need your support That's why we need you to support Ecologic, and that's why we all need to support WBAI. Please go to ecologic.wbai.org now.
Ecologic has been on BAI for more than 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. For instance, Women and the Environment includes Rachel Carson and Helen Caldicott. We have a selection of more than 25 items from which you can choose on the website. You're going to find something that you want to watch and want to get. Go to ecologic.wbai.org.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose for yourself from our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org. Figure your budget, your interest, and how much you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just $10 a month to be a sustaining WBAI buddy? Any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly a win-win.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217.
Joining us today is documentarian Andy Arrow. He'll be talking about New York City getting paid for recycling, people getting arrested for recycling, and what really happens to recycling. And my thanks to Brooke Dramer for introducing us to Andy. Thanks, Brooke. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm really looking forward to this, and good morning, listeners.
So, Andy, why don't you tell us about how you came to make this documentary and how important it is to you?
Of course. It began about 10, maybe 11 years ago when I had an air conditioner that wasn't working very well. I took it out of the window. I put it on the street. And as I anticipated, someone came along and picked it up, and I'm pretty sure they took it to a private recycling center, and that was the end of it. I didn't anticipate that it would be gone in less than a minute, but it was.
Wow.
So, so for some reason, I thought it would be interesting to go out on the street and maybe say hello to the people who pick up bottles and cans and get to know them a little bit, and take my little $200 video camera here that, and I thought maybe I would make a 5-minute YouTube video. It would be an interesting project. Maybe it would take one afternoon. And that's how it got started.
It kind of grew, huh?
It kind of grew, yes.
Yes.
But you must have had some presence about it, because you did photograph. In our promotional meme, we have a picture of it. So you took a photograph of it on the street.
That is a couple of scenes did have to be recreated. So
it's a ringer.
Okay. We should give you
that. You nailed me on that one. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So right. Tell us about some of the people you met.
Yeah, well, it took a little while to find someone who wanted to have a video camera pointed in their face and, you know, tell me about what you're doing, picking aluminum cans and plastic bottles out of the trash. There's a reason why people want to remain invisible as much as possible. They don't want any trouble. It actually is against the law. You know, people don't want any, they don't want to be disruptive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there was a language barrier. Sometimes sometimes people receive a warrant or for some kind of citation, and you know, they don't want to talk to a videographer. But I did find a few people, and they had an interesting enough story.
Yeah, well,
I was amazed at how many people did actually tell everything that they were about and the travails that they came across. And I was amazed at how much you did get people to talk.
Well, it didn't, in the cases where I did find someone who was willing to talk, it didn't take much encouragement.
Good.
I found a couple of people who I was just so fortunate to run into these people. They were articulate and they were thoughtful and they were just deadly honest about what was going on. And they told me about this whole, you know, world out there on the street that exists that, you know, most of us don't know about or pay any attention to.
All right. So tell us about that now. Tell what the one thing that was particularly interesting to me was the police harassment that was happening. That was pretty awful.
That was quite a shock. I asked one fellow, and by the way, if you see the movie, and you'll see that I just walk up to people and I say, you know, I introduce myself. Can I turn on the camera? And they say, yeah, sure. And that's it. You know, that's what I got, and that's what they said. And I did ask this fellow. His name was Joseph Williams. I asked him, and by the way, you know, I'm just curious, do you ever get stopped by the police? And he looked a little puzzled, and he said, yeah, every day.
Wow.
In fact, he said he had just been stopped on one corner, and he pointed in the other direction and said, by the time he gets up to Court Street, it'll probably be, they'll be there again.
And yet you walked around with your air conditioner, and nobody bothered you as a white guy.
That's maybe the more entertaining part of the movie. I did, since this person, Joseph, told me that he was sometimes charged with carrying household equipment without a license. That was just one of the charges that landed him in jail.
Right.
And yes, later on I did, throughout the movie, at different times of the day and different times of the year, I put some household material without a license on a hand truck, and I walked around the neighborhood and tried to draw the intent, you know, like, yoo-hoo, I'm over here. And that didn't go. And in one case, I walked back and forth in front of the my local police precinct, and they didn't do anything.
Well, not only that, though, but there were some women in the distance that one of your guys, pointed to, that were not being harassed by the police and had a full truck full of, a cart full of bottles and cans.
Yes, it's, you know, it's
selective
all very
enforcement, subjective. They call it.
Selective enforcement,
or,
excellent.
Or profiling.
I couldn't have said it better. Yes, there was a lot of that. Now the lady that the scene you're talking about is, yes, Joseph Williams points to a lady who happens to be walking by. She's got a shopping cart that's full of bottles and cans, but his cart, to be fair, was full of stuff like lighting fixtures and a roll of copper wire and you know.
Construction material.
Yeah.
I remember he mentioned that he gets names and receipts from people so that when the police stop him, he can point to, you know, I got this from this person and you can go call them.
Sure. Like they would. I'm just amazed. It makes me realize how many laws there must be that the cops can use to hassle this person or that person if they feel like it.
Well, not to be overly cynical here, you know, I'm very pro police, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, a ham sandwich can be arrested. You know, there's always something.
Right. And the point is that when trash is put out on the curb, it theoretically belongs to the city, which everybody used to like because it was stuff that nobody wanted. But now it has value.
Yes. Since I later learned from a panel of experts who agreed to sit for interviews, I did learn that since 1895, when there was the first sanitation commission, it has been technically illegal to pick stuff out of the trash because people can make a mess. And over the years, it's, you know, in the old days, people picked tin cans out of the trash, and that's how they made money. Or as I understand it, they picked out anything that was made out of cloth. They could turn that in and make a little bit of money from it.
Yeah, it's interesting that for decades, the city would complain about how much it cost to pick up trash. And so anybody who picked the trash out meant less cost to the city because there was less trash for them to pick up. Now mm-hmm. that's changed.
That has changed, and that's not the only thing that changed. Something else that changed was the 1989 recycling laws that were passed require the city to do their best to implement a recycling program, and they did or they didn't, and you know it's gone up and down over the years, but for about the last 15 years there's been a lot of focus on it, and the fines for collecting recyclable materials increased greatly. It's somewhere around $1,000 or $2,000 if someone is caught putting discarded appliances in a van and taking them down to the recycling center. There are significant fines.
Crazy.
And the reason for that is that the city now wants to collect all of it because it has value. So they are asserting their right of ownership.
Right. Okay, now we'd like to hear from our listeners. Please call in with your questions or comments at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877.
And where do people take recycling, those people who are grabbing it and using it, besides cans and bottles?
I was surprised. Cans and bottles. Well,
cans and bottles.
The key food.
There's places all over. But what about everything else?
Well, the appliances that's really where the interest is. And there are scrap yards, some of which I visited. I had I guess you could call it an opportunity to get inside those places and snoop around a little bit. There was a place near my home in Cobble Hill that was underneath the Gowanus Bridge. Yeah. If anyone takes the F train and they go up over the bridge, you can look down, you can see this big crane that's picking up stuff and putting it on a barge. And that's in my neighborhood, that's where it was. The other places I visited were out in places like Brownsville, Brooklyn, and East New York.
When I was a kid, I grew up in New Jersey, and I used to go to the junkyard, take appliances apart, and sell the copper wire to places. And that's where I got my comic book money. I didn't get an allowance. And I felt I was doing a good thing getting the copper back out there.
Yes,
sure.
Absolutely.
And I would agree, and I can just about guarantee that whoever picked up my old air conditioner took it directly that same day to such a facility and cashed it in and made a little bit of money, and it cost the city nothing.
Right.
I wish they would see that the garbage pickers, if to use a a non-PC word. What's a better word? I wish they would see that the scrappers are doing them a favor.
Well, obviously, yes no.
Some of them are because the cops don't hassle everybody. So if it's a selective enforcement, there must be two hands, you know, one not knowing the other. These people are helping, these people are not.
And a lot of them are out there every day. You know, this is basically their job. That, you know, it's not a formal job, but it's their work.
It's their living. It's how they support their families.
It keeps people going.
It does. We have
people calling in.
Yay.
The number is 212-209-2877, and you are on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a rally for Tortuguita. Today, is it okay if I announce it?
Absolutely.
Thank you. The person that you mentioned today, that's what this is about, who was murdered by the police in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be the first environmentalist murdered by the United States police. And the rally.
Yes, for all the rallies, for all their intrusions at the other, you know, Standing Rock and the other places, they hadn't actually killed anybody until today, until that day. That was
until
horrible.
January 18th, the morning, 18th. Wednesday morning, January 18th, yeah. So Tortuguita, I think, also means baby sea turtle. And if you look at them really close, they look like a baby sea turtle. They're beautiful. And they also went by they, it pronouns. And anyway... So it's at 4:30 this afternoon at East River Park, a community vigil, and they're asking people to we'll gather in the last remaining grove of trees we are defending in East River Park next to the track. So it's next to the track, and they say, please bring candles and art supplies, materials to make signs. Gather with community in East River Park, Lenape Hoking, to remember Tortuguita.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
And we have another caller, 212-209-2877, and you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
The mandatory source separation laws require a premise. If you have a diner or a restaurant or a store that you're selling convenience or products, you're supposed to have a separation right there on site. Now, most businesses in my town where I live, it doesn't exist. They have a sidewalk with two receptacles, one supposedly for trash, one for recycle. They're always contaminated, always mixed, all waste, you name it. There's never any enforcement. Now, I think it's political because they don't want to bother the businesses. Not only that, they don't even keep their premises clean in front of their stores. They expect the town to do it. But there's fines that can be implemented on these people, and if they're implemented, they would change their behavior. No one's got the political courage to do it. Now, I have an adopted area. I find stuff all the time. The amount of aluminum cans from alcohol and those little airport bottles and everything, amazing. Now, I find almost the same stuff in the same places all the time. Has to be the same people. I find receipts. The police tell me I can't use the receipts. But if I'm doing this for 10 years and I just repeat what I just said and I find receipts, and they could trace those receipts to a McDonald's or something that has cameras, they won't take it to the next step. So they say littering and not recycling is just an offense. Well, I think long ago in this country, it's reached the level of a crime. But the desire to enforce these laws, they just don't exist. And a municipality can make a lot of money. instead of giving a guy a ticket for speeding, which is appropriate, you could start a process, and it would probably end because once the enforcement took place, the remedy would follow. But there's it's
okay,
not happening.
Andy, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I'm not sure where the gentleman lives, but in New York City, the commercial piece of trash collection is not handled by the city. It's handled by private haulers. Yeah. That much I can contribute.
New Jersey is handled by the municipality.
Well, it depends. The boarding house where I live has a private contractor, and then we don't separate, and it makes me crazy. Where my sister lives, they do single stream recycling. Here in Paramus, we separate paper, cardboard, and everything else. So it does vary a lot town by town, which can be frustrating for kid at church tried to recycle something, and it's not accepted in this town. It is at the other. It's right. Very confusing.
Yeah, where I live, in the building where I live, people put garbage in the recycling. They put recycling in the garbage. They put cans in paper. I mean, there's no attention paid.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the people who move into this building, nobody tells them about recycling. And since most of the people are from other places, they don't know about it. There's just a label on the cans themselves, but nothing about what is actually recyclable and what isn't.
It was a joke to begin with, the recycling. You put a thing on a stamp on a product with a symbol, and then you hope that some market will develop behind your waste.
And nobody really knows what all those marks and symbols actually mean. They say one thing and another. But our time is up right now. I'm sorry, we're going to have to go. But Andy, do you have
any final words?
Thanks for your call, Andy. Are any final words? What you want our listeners to do? What they can
do? Well, what you can do, have a look at the movie. I'm pleased enough with the way it came out. As I said in our pre-interview, it's a bit frustrating because it is inconclusive. I was not able to gather enough information to kind of wrap things up. But I took what I had and I put it out there. And I did not get to mention that there is, in the movie, I was able to interview a panel of authorities on recycling, and I greatly appreciate their contribution. They can further explain how the sort of the official story about how the city's program works. It actually does make some kind of sense.
Reverend Billy, who's been on Ecologic, was also in your movie.
Yes, I was. I didn't know who Reverend Billy was, and it was. He also, I just pointed the camera at him and let it, let it rip.
And he went.
there he went. And he was very knowledgeable and cooperative and, of course, very charismatic and articulate.
Yeah. And the film is called Metal, M-E-T-T-L-E.
That's correct.
And it's on YouTube.
You can find it on YouTube if you... search for Metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, my name and the word documentary, it should pop right up.
And I think we're going to have it as a premium at some point, right, Ken?
Yeah.
We'll avail you of it as a premium in the future. Thank you, Andy Arrow. Well, it's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us, everybody, this morning. We are glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. For more information, go to our website, ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page, enter eco-logic.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, so go to www.ecoradio.org. One important event coming up on Wednesday, February 2nd, is the Indian Point Decommissioning Oversight Board meeting in Cortland and on Zoom. Go to dps.ny.gov, no www, and search for Indian Point. That's dps.ny.gov. The first item should have the details. Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI buddy pledges. Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
And our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, February 4th.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So
David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by.
I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
you can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Don't let the system hold you down.
Ava, a young girl sent to England from Germany in 1939 while her parents stayed behind. One of 10,000 Jewish children sent to grow up with a family in London at the time.
Yes, sir? Pardon, sir?
Know your number. If you don't know your number, you might forget who you are.
3362, sir.
Don't want you to forget who you are, now do we?
No, sir.
Let me remind you. There. A nice star. That should tell them wherever it is you're going. Best to keep them informed, eh?
Yes, sir.
Now. 40 years later, Ava's daughter discovers clues she never knew about her mother.
Give me that photo.
Why should I?
Those are your mother's private possessions, Faith.
No, they're not. They really belong to that Ava.
Your mother's thing.
A compelling story of survival starring Jane Kasmarek, Susan Sullivan, and Molly Quinn in Kinder Transport by Diane Samuels. WBAI Playhouse, Saturday, 8 p.m. on listener sponsor WBAI New York. 99.5 FM in New York, streaming at WBAI.org.
And she was called Ava.
I am not going to lie.
And she spoke German and wore yellow star.
There was no yellow star.
But she was Jewish.
It was a long time.
This is WBAI, and this is Fred Eagle Smith for WBAI in New York. Stick it in your ear.